Agenda item number 9. Let's have a discussion about oysters. Mr. Button.
Good afternoon, Dan.
Good afternoon to you.
So, staff has been receiving a number of requests for an extension of the public oyster harvest season. This is a it's a little hard to make out there, but this is the current season that's established for this season. And most of the requests coming in, at least initially, were for an extension in areas that were scheduled to close in January. I think I started receiving the first phone calls there, shortly after New Year's, after the ice had started to form there. Attached to it, a number of public comments that have been received. The requests have varied from asking for extensions for a week to 2 weeks to 3 weeks in various areas. And although it's probable that for a portion of time due to the cold weather, although today's weather would have you fooled being it's still January, that there was almost no harvest going on in Virginia waters. I mean, that once that storm hit there, most of the fleet pretty much consistently bay-wide, tributary-wide, wasn't fishing from probably Wednesday at least through that following Monday. And, you know, probably a good portion of the boats weren't going out for that entire week, and then in other areas probably for even longer. Although, so it sort of disproportionately affected areas. There were some areas that were affected very badly by the ice, particularly the western shore of the Rappahannock. The wind sort of blew up lots of ice in there, and many of the boats didn't get out for a number of weeks. Although, a number of individuals, what's that?
Weeks.
Yeah, probably 2 weeks or more. In some areas, there was not really many boats coming out of those areas. It's sort of disproportionate. That whole area wasn't necessarily not being fished, because there's a number of people who participate in the fishery in smaller fiberglass boats that can be trailered from area to area. A number of harvesters moved their boats to different areas before the storm. So folks who may have been fishing in the areas affected by ice may have gone over to the York, where the day after, or not the day after, but the week following that freeze-up, there were 20, 30 boats out there fishing in those areas. So those areas, that effort sort of shifted to areas potentially where they weren't as affected by the ice and the weather conditions. So although there are individual spots where no boats left out of from, the sort of effort got sort of shifted around from area to area. So if you did sort of a blanket extension on any particular area for the longest amount of time, say 2 or 3 weeks, that area was affected, effort could shift more intensely to that area from other areas that, you know, there were still catching oysters there. So it's sort of a delicate request that they're making to sort of blanket extend for the worst case scenario, when some of those same harvesters, they might not have been able to get out in Rappahannock Area 6 or 7, but they were working in the York, or they came over to the James, or they moved their boat and got out earlier than others. So if you extend a season for sort of the maximum of the request, you end up sort of increasing effort unintentionally that, you know, disproportionately you add it all together and you end up taking more than had been originally intended from any one of these areas. So, you know, that being said, it's probable that if you extended all the areas in January for no more than a week, it would sort of balance out, but I'm sort of hesitant to recommend sort of an extension of one area just for a week, because then all the effort that we sort of carefully balanced through SMAC and the planning of the season would all shift intensely to that one area for that one time that it was open. And sort of to illustrate the point on that, this is a map of the Rappahannock and the upper river area 7 and 6 were the areas that have been most requested. But this is sort of a breakdown of hand scrape harvest by month. And you can see that in 1 month alone, you know, with the sort of current effort that we have in the fishery, you know, over 40,000 of bushels of oysters can be removed in a matter of a month. So a matter of a week, that's a lot of effort that can be piled into one area if just that particular area is opened. So although we acknowledge sort of that there was definitely an economic impact, it wasn't really equally distributed amongst harvesters, and it's sort of hard to come down and say everyone was affected equally, we're going to open it for the worst case scenario. And it's true that probably individuals with wooden boats who were icebound were more affected by it than some of the folks who had moved their boats earlier or had smaller boats, but it's sort of hard to draw that line and give sort of a worst case scenario extension. And I think that in reality, there probably wouldn't be a significant impact if the season were extended no more than a week, collectively for all the areas that are scheduled to close in January. But anything beyond that, that sort of effort that had been moved around would stay where it was and add to effort in that area or come to the areas that were open if that area became fished out. And to sort of put it quickly there, sort of bluntly, it's sort of best maybe to quit while you're ahead. I mean, right now, Area 6 and 7, the Rappahannock, they're still catching their limit before noon most days. So it's been one of the best seasons they've had in recent memory up there, and it can turn pretty quickly. And if that does happen, then all that effort, if all the season is open for longer, can shift to somewhere else where you could do potential more impact there. So for that reason, staff is recommending that areas scheduled to close January 31st not be extended for more than 5 working days. So that would move the closing date from January 31st to February 7th. And that area scheduled after January 31st not be extended at this time, and that be referred to the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee. The reason for that is a number of the areas, mainly the Patentong areas, the Tangier and Pocomoke Sound and the James River, already have longer seasons than any of the other areas. And sort of the length of season is taken into account that there'll be some delays and harvest days missed due to the weather, and particularly in the late winter months. And there's sort of been some requests for extensions there, and there's been some individuals who have been hesitant to ask for an extension because they're aware that, you know, that additional extension could impact the resource in the future. So in the short term, it's going to be a positive economic benefit, but the sort of the long-term predictions of where it leads the fishery, depending on the length of extension, are sort of much harder to predict. So that's the reason for the recommendation of no more than a week extension and this deferral of any extension for areas closing in February.
A quick question here. When you say an ASMAC discussion here on areas that are scheduled to close at the end of February, do you mean just for hand scrapes?
Just for hand scrapes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
And I guess that would include the dredge areas in the Tangier and Pocomoke Sound. So there are dredge areas scheduled to close in February.
Right.
And the hand scrape areas.
Yeah. Mr. Ballard.
Do we have any data yet or any idea on how these areas were producing? How was the oyster season this past fall?
There's preliminary data through October on the production levels there. It's not really up to date fully yet, but sort of the tentative data, which is based on early reporting, was showing already 25,000 bushels off public just in October, and that number will probably rise there. It should probably be a pretty similar season to the 2014-2015 season in those areas, where close to that 40,000 bushels in October was caught there originally. So it should be on par with that last time. That's sort of the closest approximation to this current season rotation that we're in was that 2014-2015 season. And that was when we actually peaked on the wild oyster production at close to 300,000 bushels that year. So it should be coming back around to that same rotation on top of having significant spat sets there. So it should be a comparable season. It's been a very good year.
Other questions from the commission? Ms. Effert.
So are you saying that more than 5 days you have concern about long-term impacts, or 5 days doesn't give you concern? You said it's hard to predict.
I would say more than 5 days would start to give me concerns. Okay. Up to five days, the concerns are less.
Okay. And one related, due to the cold weather, potential die-off, are you likely to be more cautious moving forward, or will that be revisited once there's some spring surveys or some point of decision there?
Most of the oysters shouldn't be impacted by the cold weather. They're mostly subtidal there, so sort of the impacts would be minimal there. So they can tolerate it pretty well.
I assume your exception to that is the hand harvest on the Eastern Shore.
Right, right. And that season's scheduled to close in March. And I wouldn't seek an extension on that. But they are, the main concern there on the Eastern Shore is not the ice killing the whales, but potentially moving them. So the higher salinity gives them a little added layer of protection, but the ice can sort of shear them off and keep them out that much. But that wouldn't be an area that we propose extending. It has the longest season.
Mr. Fritz.
Yes, Mr. Button. When would areas 6 and 7 be due to open again after February closure?
Area 6 wouldn't come around until for another 3 years, so the 21-22 season, I believe. And area 7 wouldn't come around for another 2 years in the rotation there, so it would be... usually 7 and 8 are every other year, and Area 6 is on the 3-year rotation. Then.
Mr. Ballard.
I'm trying to think about kind of the quality of the measure amongst all areas. And so is the logic you're trying to come up with just these few areas is that the other areas are due to close later, so they have more time to recover from these 5 days that everyone may have missed? Whereas the 6 and 7 areas are the areas we want to extend, they're done in a few days, so they don't have time to recover. Is that kind of the thought, or
in part? Yeah, and they're just scheduled to close, you know, at the end of the month. And the other areas are scheduled to close in February, and I don't want to sort of, if there is another weather event and it sort of tacks onto it, kind of make that decision too early.
Okay.
And there's also been some concern with some individuals on sort of the length of an extension there. Those areas like the Tangier and Pogomo get a 3-month season, and it's sort of understood that you're going to miss a fair number of days out there due to the sort of location of where it is. That's part of the reason that it has a 3-month extension. The same thing with the Deep Rock area. And then the James River is the longest season, scrape season we've had in the James River collectively in some time, so there's been some hesitation about whether that needs to be extended any longer. So there's sort of a little more nuance in those February areas, and it's sort of more clear here today anyway for the areas because of the close in January.
Okay.
Mr. Neal.
I guess your recommendation is to open these two areas not more than five. What is your recommendation? I mean, are you recommending us to extend it, or would you rather not extend it? I mean, what is the recommendation?
I would say that from a resource standpoint, that it would be better not to extend it at all. But from a, you know, it won't hurt it terribly short term to extend it by 5 days. So my is no more than that. I would accept less than that, but my staff recommendation is no more.
But your best staff recommendation or your favorite staff recommendation is no extension at all.
I would say that would sort of, you'd have to get more into that, and there'd be certain areas, break it down area by area, but I would say that I think that the resource could easily handle 5 more days, but more than that, you end up getting into a situation where there's more effort than intended. So a 5-day extension wouldn't change any of the prior planning gone into it, but anything more than that would. So I would say that I'm not strongly recommending a 5-day extension, but I'm not recommending more than that.
So I pinned him down, not at all.
I think you should have been a lawyer.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, I tried to pin him down. I did. I failed.
Other questions from the commission? My question would be then, a full 7 days for the full week, first week of February, would be, from your perspective, out of the question.
I would say that it would be more than fair that the 5 days be the limited extension there. A full 7 days, it might make it easier sort of to end on a Friday, but the season was then scheduled to end on a Wednesday anyway. And it goes, you get 2 extra weeks where you're going to be working anyway. You get a Thursday, a Friday, and a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So you get 5 working days would be the extension for the season. So it covers 2 weeks.
Any other questions from the commission? Well, this is not a public hearing, but it might as well be a public hearing. Is there anybody in the audience who wishes to be heard on this matter? Mr. Kellum, whenever you're in the audience, I want to hear from you. Please come forward.
Commissioner, members of the commission, I'm Tommy Kellum, W. Kellum Seafood. We're an oyster processor located on the Rappahannock, and I thought it would be helpful. I actually bought some specific numbers on what we experienced during the time frame we're talking. But before I do that, I'd first like to thank staff, the commission, and SMAC for what I deem to be a very good oyster season that was a unanimously decided season, and it's gone extremely well. Law enforcement has done a very good job in the northern areas, Middle Peninsula, Northern Neck. Very small issues with undersized oysters, and to my knowledge, no one was caught in an area they shouldn't have been. So it's about as near perfect, in my opinion, as it could have been, and I'd like to thank everyone for that. Going back to the issue with the weather-related harvest loss, our company experienced on 12/28 was the first day of about a 16-degree temperature. We experienced about a 73% decrease in oyster production. That decrease held through the 16th of January. The highest that we had during that period was about a 29% of normal, and it was down as low as 1%. We had 2 days that no one went, but for the most part, it fluctuated in that period of a pretty substantial decrease in harvest. And with that being said, we have seen a very significant harvest in the Rappahannock. So actually, we went from a number on the 27th of December of about 600 bushels down to 33 bushels the following day. So while we do have this smaller fleet that was trailable, you also have to keep in mind that it was about a 3-degree or below wind chill factor. So even though they could get their boats around, they weren't necessarily able to stand it physically to be able to harvest. So based on my numbers, I actually we came up with 18 days of impairment, which meant that we were significantly low in production, about 9 days that was a total loss. So my request from our company, from an industry perspective, would be 7 days. We see that as being conservation neutral because that harvest would have been taking place anyway. And secondly, from the standpoint of what Mr. Button was talking about congregating, when these areas close, everyone's going to the James River because on the western shore, that's the only area that's open. So while we see these great populations in the York James and even the Blackberry Hang area of the Wicomico rotation, the resource is there to keep those guys there. It keeps everyone from flocking to the James, for lack of a better way of stating it. So from that, I would respectfully ask that you consider a 7-day extension through that following Friday. So thank you.
Mr. Kellum.
Yes, sir.
Mr. France.
Yes. Could you elaborate a little bit? I know you and I were talking before earlier about the boats coming in today, that how long they were out and what they were doing in the area of, I don't know, 6 or 7.
In area 6 and 7, I got a phone call at 11 o'clock that at two of the three docks we buy, the boats were in with their limits and the trucks were on the way back to the plant. I talked to two watermen that called to find out what the status was here that planned to come from the York. They both had their limit in the 11:30 range and were headed back across the bay to try to get washed up to get here, and not knowing what was happening with the pipeline, they did not come. But hearing, but at any rate, they're very early. Yesterday was the first day of full production that we've seen since the 26th of December, and it's a very good harvest today and yesterday.
Thank you.
Other questions from the commission?
Thank you,
Mr. Kellum.
Thank you.
Ms. Button, you have a response? Welcome back to the hot seat.
I guess the difference between 5 and 7 days is, I mean, well, 2 days, obviously, but...
oh, we're sending you to the Middle East.
But I guess Tommy is right that there is some concern that when all the areas close there, you're just left with a small area open in the Bob Jack and the James River.
Yeah.
It's a matter of trying to predict again where, 300 some boats are going to end up on a particular day. So my feeling is that if the season ends on a Wednesday, there's probably going to be a travel day to get everything around. There's Friday, and some folks might make it there and go, and then the season's really going to start there on Monday anyway. But if you keep the season open, then, well, you're going to definitely get that full week in that area, and then everyone's going to be there on day one in the other area regardless. So it's a matter of 2 days, but, that can be when you start multiplying the close to 905 user fees that we have out there times 16 bushels. 2 days is close to 8,000 bushels that can come off the water there. So,
Mr. France.
Yeah. Mr. Button, tell me, what could stand the most pressure, to leave the Rappahannock areas open for an extra few days or just to close it down and all these boats go to the James River? And then, I know everybody that I've talked to, they're saying, man, I hope it stays open because I hate to have to go to the James River. They're all planning to go if it closes. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, which area could stand the most pressure?
It's one of those all or nothing, I guess. So right now I'd prefer it that the areas consistently be open at the same time. So it's neither area would benefit from all the boats being there at once. So there it's one of those you're taking from one pot and putting it in another, but the same number of oysters are coming out of the river. So area 6 and 7 there in the Rappahannock River, the resource probably wouldn't be significantly impacted necessarily for 2 extra days there, but I think the same thing would be true there in the James, that those sort of 2 days wouldn't be significant there either. So it's really, which one area is can withstand the most number of boats. Probably the James can handle a little more boats than those areas up there in the Rappahannock. Those areas tend to get much lower spat sets, and the areas in the James River have consistently year after year, in sort of recent memory, handled more spats. So if there is damage done, the James could probably recover quicker than Area 6 and 7 there in the Rappahannock. Particularly those are areas where we do move seed and spat sets are lower. So the lower area of the James, if there is damage, could recover probably quickly. It's one of those, it's kind of a hard answer to give.
Yes, but on the flip side of that here, you have the other factors, which would be concentrating the fleet onto the James River itself here could have... it's a balancing act, and I think it's a bit more art than science. If you happen to spread out through 4 areas, the Rapp and Great Wicomico and Mob Jack, as opposed to concentrated in the James, which has the least potential for detrimental impacts to the stocks? I don't have a good answer. Mr. Bellet.
I agree. I think, that question's just a very, very difficult one to answer, that really, the smartest guys in the state could study for months and not know. I kind of lean towards the thought of this is 7 days. It's not particularly significant. I would estimate, just from what I've seen, that most fleets have missed a minimum of 14. So we're probably going to be a lower effort than we had originally planned on. And 7 is just kind of, really, we're still going to be below what we'd planned. And in this case, I've got to assume the watermen asking to stay in these areas is because there's a lot of oysters there. They wouldn't be asking that if there wasn't a lot of oysters there. They'd want to go to the James where there are more oysters. So in this case, we don't have good data on it. I'd defer to the watermen and say, let's leave this area open for 7 more days.
Well, I can go over I was going to save this for the oyster replenishment plan, but I can go over stock assessment data sort of tentatively for those areas. But it's a matter of basically the sort of calculation there, particularly in the Rappahannock, is that half the standing stock, based on the seasons that we've come up with, taking into account weather, is removed during the sort of established season time there. And sort of it's really in regulation, sort of, we've never done it before, but if we determine that half the standing stock is depleted, we close that area, that, you know, probably after a week extension is going to be a pretty close number, so it's not going to be exact, but the difference between 5 and 7 days, like you said, it's not much.
Mr. France.
Yeah, when you say you figure in standing stock and working days, now when you figure in the working days, now you've lost 10 to 14 working days. Is that not figured in?
Well, it's the estimate. It's based on sort of previous. It's basically based on the harvest effort from the previous season and what the stock assessment shows when you come back. So it's when you, based on a 2 month season, the last time the area was open, you can see that, you know, a certain number of days were probably missed collectively, and your standing stock came down to a certain level there.
Okay.
So it's not perfect science, but it's sort of based more on history and what was there. And the fishery sort of has been pretty stable since 2014, 2015. The same number of boats. There's been some adjustments there, but I'll remind folks that we did have the intent was to sort of limit the number of people there and gradually have that number come down. So there still are a lot of participants in the fishery, more so than the fishery can really support. And sort of to, you know, emphasize the point there that all these scrape areas the replenishment department maintains by shell planting every year. So if we have the resource and we plant the shells, these areas can recover. But any area that gets further depleted because of harvest effort sort of adds to a list that we already can't do everything on. So that's sort of the caution, is any of these areas, I'm not saying that they would get depleted, but if they did, it would add to a list that's already too long. So I'd always err on the side of caution in that it's good to leave when you're catching 16 bushels by noon, and that you don't want to be grinding it out till 2 in these areas, because that means we're going to have to come back with the limited resources we have for shelling to replenish these areas harder. So, you know, it's good that you're still catching lots of oysters there when you're leaving. You don't want to be leaving on the last day having to come back at 2 with only 14 bushels in a boat. So it's erring on the side of caution, which I think is sort of always what I'm going to do in these cases. But
Mr. Minor?
What's the discussion though?
I think we still have a little bit more discussion. Do we have some more discussion?
Yeah, I'll discuss something.
Mr. Neal.
I always like discussing. Yeah, in general, we get these requests, you know, the one to extend the rockfish season and that kind of, with these various weather events. And in general, I don't like it because weather's weather. And you know, it's nature. We set our seasons that kind of thing. We're going to have these same kind of issues, then I guess in reverse with speckled trout we're going to be talking about. Keeping it extended for 5 days, 7 days, I don't think is a big deal. But on the other hand, if we have a winter that's exceptionally nice, are we going to close the season early? I mean, we want to extend it because we have a freeze. Are we ever going to shorten it because the weather's nicer? So, I mean, we expect to lose days. Now, you know, so you're not going to shorten it? Okay. So I guess that's just the point I wanted to make. Because we have a colder than average winter, and so we want to extend seasons. Are we ever going to shorten it if we have a milder and calmer winter than average?
Because Mr. Neal, increase harvest. I can tell you that I will never vote to close the season early because it's been too nice. Won't happen.
I just wanted to lodge it in both ways.
Yeah, you know, I lean to the conservative side too. But this year, the winter was exceptionally bad. Ice, if you had a wooden boat, for over 2 weeks, you couldn't do anything. I don't care if it's a quarter inch thick or 4 inches thick. If it's ice, you can't work. You know, so, and the product is there. Everybody I've talked to, you know, right now at 10 o'clock, they've got their limits and they're in. They're done. It's a good product. There's plenty there. I think these guys, this has been an exceptionally bad winter. I mean, most of the time, 3 or 4 days, maybe we'll be shut down, but this year was a long time. I think we'd be helping those guys out.
And I want to say, because I like to keep some of this in perspective, we're in a heck of a lot better shape than we were, say, 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Minor, now I think it's time for a motion, whatever that motion may be.
Well, I'm looking at Button asked for 7 days, Bill asked for 7 days, Firth asked for 14 days, and Hudgens asked for 10 days, and Kellam asked for 7 days. So that's, I see 3 sevens, so that's a lucky number, I guess. So I'd like to make a motion that we extend the season for 7 days.
Okay, so we have a second?
Second.
A second by Mr. Ballard here. So to clarify that, that means the season would be extended from January 31st to February 9th. And that we ask for clarification, and that would just be for the areas that were scheduled to close on January 31st per the staff recommendation, which would be York River Area 1, Rappahannock River Area 6, Area 7, Great Wicomico, Blackberry Hanks. Correct?
That's correct.
That's the motion? That's the second. Is there a discussion on the motion? Call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you for your input, Mr. Kellam.
Thank you.